Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
With me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
And me, Kay Rhodes.
Ooh.
And we are doing a little bit of a little mellow chiller this week. We kind of alternate the real intensive episodes with the little mellow.
Mellow
cool downs.
Last week was pretty intense.
Sure was. I want to let everybody know that if you weren't at the festival last week, you missed a really great performance by Keith Hennessy. And I'm not sure if you noticed, but I put a link to that entire performance, the audio of it.
This was the Labor and Justice Festival
at
the
Lab. Yeah, No Justice, No Service Labor Festival. We never can say the name of that right either, but we don't even know the name of the show that we're on. So that's fine.
It's just how it is sometimes.
So if you want to go back and listen to that, please do. That was so many great people there last week. Had a real fun time. At one point, I did plug the headphones into the microphone jack of our
that
recorder.
That was early on, though. We figured it out pretty quickly.
And
after our first interview, we figured it out.
So that was a real, there was a tight learning curve.
And I mean, it was great to actually talk to all those people and learn about what they're doing. It's been a little bit of a struggle to figure out what groups are doing what and which groups, you know, just learning about which groups you might want to join or become part of. So that was actually really great for me. So if you, listener, are interested in, you know, incorporating some sort of activism into your life, whether it be around the arts.
And it doesn't have to be part of your art necessarily.
Right. It can be anything. We all are human beings outside of our creative practices. And
yep. Or it can be.
Yeah. But there's a lot of really great stuff going on. Critical Resistance is a group I'm thinking about trying to, or I signed up on their email list.
Yeah, go volunteer for them. It's easy.
Yeah.
So if you're in Oakland, Monday night, 7 to 9.
Is that what their volunteer is?
Volunteer hours. Was there anything else I had to say about the labor thing?
I don't know. Get your shit together.
Just that Keith Hennessy performance blew my mind.
Let's talk about
and
that
I'm
a
huge fan of Keith Hennessy now. And that has meant that I've gained a new appreciation for dance.
Woo! A victory!
I never didn't like dance. But
yeah, don't lie.
I never didn't
you
like
hated
dance.
It.
I saw.
You hated it the way I don't like comics.
Hell no!
I'm kidding.
I saw a dance group called Teeth when I lived in Portland that really opened my mind up to contemporary dance.
Cool.
Because they did their dances naked.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was crazy. And they had a little video camera that had a live feed, and they did crazy shit with that while they danced and stuff.
Like they were maneuvering the video camera in
and
the
wire was part of it. And
you're kind of holding it like it was on a wand. It was the video camera on a wand, like a selfie wand kind of situation?
Oh, no. It was just like a regular camera that had a long cable coming out.
I see.
Yeah. Like a little tiny camera.
Yeah. It's funny because last night I was talking with a few people at your opening, Kate. Kate has an opening or show up at Burnt
it.
Oak.
It's all
Gallery.
Plugged up now. My opening.
That sounds like something Keith Hennessy would be
I'm
into.
On one. Go on.
Anyhow, we were talking about the difference between, or what, we were talking about what contact improv was.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking with.
Well, that's Keith Hennessy's thing, contact improv.
Right, but. It was talking with Toria Cummings, who's a local artist, and Jana Schwartzman, who is a grants administrator in the Bay Area. And Toria was saying, you know, I always thought contact improv was kind of like sort of like new agey, spiritual, sort of hippie dancing, feeling the earth and air around you.
I think that's part of it.
Well, as someone
you know better than I do.
And so we were talking and I was just sort of like, well, I think that's what some people think it is or some people practice, but I think there's also a really sort of slightly
like technical,
not even technical, but a much coming from like a much more studied and sort of technical background.
Oh, yeah,
to
there's a
improv.
Whole theory that goes along with it.
Yeah,
I watched some videos of Keith Hennessy kind of talking about that.
Oh, good,
and
we should post some.
That's
of that.
Why I that's the only reason I even know that this is a thing that exists in the world
because of Keith Hennessy,
yeah,
and that one performance you saw of his.
And
last
now
two
I'm really
week,
into
weekend.
All that. But he didn't do contact improv for that performance. That was a poetry thing.
Yeah.
But when you see it, just from a layman's perspective, it just looks like people like kind of dance wrestling and on the ground, and they're like touching each other all over their bodies, and it's really like erotic looking.
Oh, interesting.
I think. Or like fighting. I guess it looks kind of like grappling.
It can look
too.
Like that. I kind of compared it. This is sort of a weird comparison for folks who aren't maybe dancers, but I sort of compared it to tango.
Okay.
Because tango, like in its purest, in its not maybe not purest form, but in its sort of what it's intended to be, is really kind of an improvisational dance.
I didn't know that.
The improvised
part is when you choose to put the rose in your mouth.
That, and when you choose to do your little kick, no, your little, your embellishment. But no, I mean, there's like with tango, there's sort of a set, like eight count step that you can do, that you do. It's sort of like if you watch tango, the footwork that's usually happening, or if there's like a standard footwork that you see over and over again, that's kind of like the structure. That's like the beginning of where you can start the dance. But when I studied tango, the teacher really, really, really stressed that you lean into your partner with the upper part of your chest. So it's like your chest and not your shoulders, because that would be weird. To the point where we actually started the class where we stood with your partner, leaned into each other from the top parts of your body, and just stood there breathing.
Oh, wow.
Like really trying to connect and become one unit.
Yep.
So that when your partner, if you're the follow, which I was always the follow, you like intuit, because you're so tightly connected and connected in the dance, that you intuit when your partner is going to move or step, and how and where and like all the directions and everything. So it's sort of like you have to be really, really, really in tune with the person you're dancing with. And the same is similar with contact improv, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are touching. So it's sort of like, I think the problem with a lot of these dances is that people kind of force their way into it. Like if I've gone to tango dances or, you know, milongas or whatever, where you can feel your dance partner has their hand in like the small of your back, and they're like forcibly moving you, like to
creepy,
the point where you're
like a puppet.
You're like, you're hurting my back actually. And
holy
if you
shit.
Danced properly, you wouldn't have to even touch me with your hand actually to move me, if we were actually connected in a way that you're supposed
Whoa,
to be.
Oh man, that's fucking next level.
But and so I think contact is similar, but it's so weird because you really have to have like a relationship with your partner.
Oh yeah.
Like to really kind of like, I know what this person is thinking. We're totally, I mean, it sounds new agey. We're totally connected, whatever. But I think if it's coming from dancers who have been dancing forever and who are trained in many different techniques, it can actually be really beautiful and quite challenging and, I don't know, interesting to watch even.
The lectures I listened to where Keith Hennessy was talking about it, he was talking about kind of like this ethos that it's like a very inclusive form.
Yeah.
And that like kind of the people that are really into it are trying to create, you know, a totally like oppression free form of dance or like community, but that it's still recreating the same issues you have with like any kind of, you know, like established art thing, where it's like mainly white, mainly straight, even though it's trying to be like super, super inclusive. Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to like pose all these questions about like how does this always happen? And then how can it be different?
Yeah.
And he talked about like contact improv, where it's like white dudes, straight white cisgender dudes come in and are like real pushy, just kind of how you were talking about the creepy tango people.
Yeah, or they get really
trying to like dominate their partner.
Yeah.
And like,
although,
how,
I mean, in contact improv, it's not male, female.
No, it not
can
necessarily.
Male, male.
It can
be
any combination
like
of
it
people.
Really, that's actually really. Tango can be that as well, but it's less, it's way more traditional, obviously.
Right.
You know, and like the gender dynamics, but
yeah, I think he was kind of saying that could be really fucked up to be subjected to that, or it can be like a nice, almost like a safe place for a person to challenge that dynamic, to challenge the fucking douche guy who's gonna try to dominate. This is like all just my little tiny, tiny limited from like watching a million Keith Hennessy videos.
And I think the same can be, I mean, yes, maybe guys do that. Maybe there's like some need for men to assert their power or control over a situation. I don't know. But I mean, I've been in situations where there's women also doing it. Like there's the people who have like really strong technique. And so they're doing like pirouettes and these kind of really forced movements. And you're kind of like, okay, so I can see that you're really technically skilled and that's great, but that's not like, how is that relating to what I'm doing? You know, where you're kind of like, you're actually not connecting with me at all. You're kind of doing this thing that you feel like you need to do, but it's really a conversation.
That's crazy, man. I had no idea there was all this going on.
Which is why the relationship with a partner is so important. Because it's like, if you don't jive with your partner, you're going to be like, this sucks.
And it's going to look bad. No matter if one person's like blasting fucking arabesques. Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
But if the other person's just in limbo, then it's not going to... If the other person's literally limboing.
Can we please do a dance like that for our listeners? You can do the arabesque and I'll do the limbo.
I don't know how to do any of that. I could do a really hilarious limbo where I never make it.
You could do a limbo where you're just already on the ground.
Me in the pole.
You're just like laying on the ground.
But
just you in the pole standing
that's
there.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so I... So, yeah, Torreya and Jane and I were talking about it. It was very interesting last night just to hear from maybe non-dance perspectives about what their intent, what their impressions were of Contact Improv. And so I actually want to look for, I told them I would find some video for them.
Oh, yeah. There's
of good
great,
Contact
great
Improv.
Video. I want to go out on a limb here and get a little, pick your brain a little bit more on this dance topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this I feel is related in the terms of the maybe the hippie sense of. Have you heard
ecstatic
of,
dance?
Yes,
Torreya and I. So she brought that up. She was like, "Well, because there's this thing called ecstatic dance. Have you heard of it?" And I was like, "I haven't heard of it." And she,
you haven't heard of it.
I haven't heard of it.
I've heard of that more than any of this other stuff.
Yeah, is this? I feel like this is the kind of stuff that goes on at Burning Man, maybe or.
I kind of.
I mean,
think
actually,
so. I mean, I don't
so,
know
but
enough
Jaina
about it
actually,
to say.
Jaina, I, well, it's okay that we're using our names. They don't.
Are they mad?
No, but Jaina.
I don't think they.
Jaina
they
was saying
the show?
That she was. They do listen to the show. Jaina was saying that she and her friends were going to a park in the East Bay just to hang out. It was the middle of the day on a weekend. They hadn't seen each other for a while. Like, hey, let's just go sit in the park and hang out. And there was a large group of people doing what is called ecstatic dancing. And one of the people ran up to him and was like, hey, come join our ecstatic dance or come join our group and dance with us. And they were like, no, thank you. They're like, we have our own agenda here. We're here to hang out with each other. We didn't just come to the park to go ecstatic dancing. I'm sorry I'm not wearing my stretch pants right now. These jeans are tight. What do you want me to do here? And then the woman or
well, that's not so bad.
No, listen, what oh, that's God, not bad
comes,
at all. What's
comes.
Bad is that the woman's, I think ultimately I'm assuming it was a woman, but it could be wrong. The person said, well, I feel like you're judging us, so you should just leave the park.
Whoa.
Right. I mean, that's outrageous. It's like, this is a public park.
What
are you
were
kidding
they
me?
Doing though, Mason? Were they pointing and laughing?
No.
Were they?
No, Jaina's not like that. I don't know who she was with, but I know Jaina well enough to know that she is probably like, I'm just with my friends. We're here to have a conversation. We didn't just come to the park. Like, right, you know, not everyone's always in the mood to be spontaneous.
If
always.
You're going to be doing some kind of wacky yoga dance in the park in front of anybody who goes by, you got to be ready to get a little bit of a side eye.
Totally. I mean, it's not, I mean, you have to think that's part of the reason why you do it in the park. Like you want, not because you want side eye, but because you want to be on view or on display, kind of. You know, it's like you're in the middle of a park. People come to the park. What do you want them to do? Not look? No, it's not possible.
I know the only reason I leave my house is for people to look at me.
Right.
Just kidding.
Come on now. If you were at Dolores Park right now doing like back bends and walking a tightrope between trees, I would certainly walk by and be like, wow, that's crazy, that move.
You know, in my heart, I agree. But I just always love to be the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyhow, I thought that was pretty,
that's very funny.
Pretty
well, I had a friend who does ecstatic dance.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she just always talked about it as like a very therapeutic. You know, it's just basically you're dancing. I think you're pretty much by yourself. It's not partnered at all, but you're in a group, but you're not dancing with the group necessarily.
You're just dancing your own song.
Yeah,
own
and you're
song.
Like kind of doing your own thing, and there's like. There's a whole philosophy behind it.
We all judge people. We judge ourselves, good, bad. We judge others, good, bad, right, wrong, comparatively, how we experience others based on our past experiences. So knowing that, we get a chance to practice dropping these judgments, even if they're good judgments.
There's a lot of acceptance with even the chaos energy that you bring at times, or whatever it is that you're bringing here. There's just a distinct openness and acceptance of whatever it is that you want to express in the moment.
Obviously I don't know enough about it. So if anybody's out there who's really, really into ecstatic dance, and we are saying ecstatic dance, because when I first heard my friend talk about it, I kept thinking she was saying static dance.
Oh, no.
And I was like, that seems like an oxymoron or just a really boring dance. Actually, that's the dance I do every day. So I don't know. All this dance stuff, man, it's really opening my mind up.
Awesome. I love it.
And Keith Hennessy. Number one.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
I saw Keith Hennessy do a performance 2 years ago at Yerba Buena, and I kind of hated it.
I loved it.
I don't think that's what you went to, man, because I don't think you would have been into this.
Was it like 17 people performing?
Yeah.
And they were sitting on the sides of the stage and would kind of come in and out and cross the stage and go into the audience.
And there was like a trapeze kind of in the middle.
Oh, I don't remember a trapeze.
That they would climb up on and do stuff on. Anyhow, at the time when I saw it, I thought that I hated it because there was a part at the end where they had the audience come up and do some like shaking and whatnot. And that, you know, I hate that. I don't dance. I don't
want to. Did they really want the audience to come up?
Well, that was the thing. One of the dancers, this is what happened. One of the dancers came up and was like, hey, come on down and shake and whatever, whatever. I mean, it wasn't that overt. But then the funny thing was, and I was getting up and I was like, are we really doing this? And my friend who I was there with.
You got up to do it?
Oh, of course, because wow. I thought we had to. And I would be a great victim of a fascist state. But so I'm getting up to my friend. My friend is totally excited to go down there. My friend is all about it. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. I can't believe it. The whole time I was like, I don't want to be doing this. I'm sure my friend would love ecstatic dance. And then, as we're just about to get down there, Keith Hennessy comes over himself and he's got a bottle of bourbon and like a bottle of kombucha. That's that mushroom drink, right?
It's not really a mushroom, but yeah.
Okay. And and he's like, you don't have to go down there. You don't have to go. You can stay. Not to me personally, but to like all everybody.
Everyone that was like swarming the stage all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa.
Well, but no, he didn't. I mean, he just didn't want to be. I think he just didn't want people to feel uncomfortable and like they were forced to participate. So, but the people did go down and they did some weird thing and it's all on video. But at the time, I really thought that I didn't like that whole performance. But
I'm surprised by you because I feel like you're so experimental and open to weird.
I don't like to
not
see
for you.
I don't like to feel unsafe.
Oh, right, there was pee involved. Oh, I don't want you to feel unsafe either.
But the show was about the economic collapse, so it made sense that it was so crazy.
Yeah.
And now looking back, I think I gained a new appreciation for it. And that Keith Hennessy was always on my mind after that, just because it was such a. You know, I had moved to the Bay Area.
Yeah,
and
girl.
Growing up in Ohio, dance is like ballet. So, you know, I mean, obviously I wasn't in touch with like the avant-garde dance people of Ohio. I'm sure they exist.
They do, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. That blew my mind. And
maybe
I
we'll
just, every day I find new things in the Bay Area that blow my mind, man. We got so many amazing people and amazing things happening here. I don't even know.
I went to the Royal Nunsuch opening
this past
weekend, and the show was fantastic. I highly, highly recommend it. It was it's probably some of the best work I've seen in a while. And that space, it's such a tiny space, so it's amazing to see a 2-person show in that space. That's like really, really, really successful, I think. But the show is called Twice in a While, and it's work by Cara Levine and Jess Wheelock. I think it's Cara Levine.
Cara,
did I say Carrie?
I don't know what you said. But Cara was on the show last week because she was one of the artists that participated in the labor fair. She made those the tackle buddies that you could punch.
Oh, yeah.
And no conflict of interest, though, because Maysoon didn't even know that. And
she's I just asked. What was she there for? Yeah, no, the show was great. There were Jess Wheelock's work. She had three videos in the space, and they were all the videos were all about sort of putting or pushing something back or not pushing something back. I don't know how to properly explain it. But one video, for example, was of maybe the artist, someone in the video holding two candles together, two lit candles, the ends of the candles together, the wax melting down. She's trying to stick them together with her fingers, meanwhile getting burned from hot wax melting.
Ooh.
And on the pedestal, there's a fire alarm. Those little red fires.
The one where you pull the...
You pull down the handle.
Yep.
And so you physically pull down the handle and water gets... Not real water, but in the video, a bucket of water gets thrown on her. So the
Wait,
candles...
Wait, what?
The,
you can pull it and that happens in
yes.
the video?
It's fucking... I mean, it's true. It was awesome. No, seriously. I don't know what technology it is, but it's pretty... So you extinguish her fire, the fire that she's feeling. It's a fucking... And then another one was...
That's awesome.
A person is carrying a very long or very tall stack of books, like almost over her head, and it's very unwieldy, and she's kind of trying to walk with it. It's all kind of close shot. And then there's an old fashioned horn that you with like the big kind of rubber ball at the end that you push
a clown's horn.
Like a clown's horn. So you push the horn or you squeeze the ball and the air that gets blown knocks her over. So she
falls over
with this pile of books collapsing on her.
Well, that's magic.
And then the third one, it's just like so charming and magical.
Wait, maybe we should say the third one so that people go and see.
The third one was really cool.
Go see it. Royal Nunsuch is open from 1 o'clock to 1:15 on Monday. That's 1 a.m. That's a joke, Maysoon. When are they really open? Maysoon wasn't listening.
I wasn't even paying attention. Sorry. They're open from 1 to 4 p.m. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays.
You guys, if you need a volunteer to help you be open a little bit more on the weekend, give me a call. 419-351-6606.
I love
gallery sitting.
Kate does love gallery sitting, everyone.
There's
I just want to
more I love
that.
Than just sitting there.
Well, no, but you
I'm,
also...
I'm totally serious.
You really
I
like
draw,
talking
I
to
like
people.
I like to think. I like to talk to people. I like to learn people's stories.
Learn people's stories.
Anyhow, also, callers, if you want to say something about something, you also can call that number or text that number, 419-351-6606, or on the Bird Network, you got at Pine Tree Podcast. Root Division's got a new location.
Congratulations, Root Division. Woo!
Thank God, man.
Thank God.
That was close.
We were feeling worried.
I want to say one thing.
Yep, say it.
Andrea Fraser says that there will never be a shortage of tiny alternative spaces because they are run on the energy of the young. And there will never be a lack of young people with energy.
It's like the military.
And there'll never be a lack of super mega giant museums because they run on corporate money. And that'll never be in short supply. But the
let's hope someday
but the
might.
Places that get hurt when we have these economic problems are the mid-size. The mid-size places. And that's why I'm happy about Root Division.
Go Root Division. So Root Division just signed a 10-year lease on a new space, 13,000 square feet. It's fucking amazing. That is huge. It's such a fucking...
How many studios are there going to be now?
I think it's something like 22 studios.
That's awesome.
It's
and how
so
long
awesome.
The lease?
10 years.
Oh, Lord.
And it's on Mission Street, 1131 Mission Street, which I think is...
That's not far from where they are now, right? It's like in
So I think it's kind of in like the 6th, 7th Street area.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Well, that's where they're at now, 6th and Market.
Right. Anyhow, it's so fucking awesome. I'm so happy for them. I cannot wait. The space, there were some photos posted in the SF Chronicle article about it last week. And the space looks beautiful. Michelle Mansour is the director of Root Division, looked so ecstatic in the photos, just so probably relieved.
Almost like
I can't believe
ecstatic
it.
Ecstatic dancing.
She might have been ecstatic dancing on the inside.
That's so happy.
I know. I'm so proud of them. And excited that they're still, that they're going to be here. Oh. That it's like a solid, okay, they are going to be here now.
And it's not going to be that weird hallway with the bathroom. So how much money did they get from the devil?
No. They got, they're about to start Root Divisions. Don't be an asshole. Root Division. Root Division's going to start a capital campaign to raise $750,000. And then they.
Oh, wait, do I have to give money?
It'd be, if you can, yeah. But they might do, like, maybe they'll
give
do an,
$5.
Maybe they'll do an auction where you'll have an opportunity to donate.
Oh, I could
work
give some art. I wouldn't mind it. People are going to wonder in their head. They're going to be like, how much money is Google putting into this? How many fucking,
why do you think no one's
how many microchips
it?
Is everyone that visits Root Division going to have to get implanted in their brain? And the answer is zero.
Now that Kate's done with her ramble, her own personal ramble, people.
I'm laying on the floor. Root Division, congratulations. I knew you would straighten this all out. They got some real level-headed people working over there, some real dedicated people.
That's right.
And we knew it was all going to be okay. And that marks the end of the tech problem in San Francisco.
It doesn't, but it does mark like an upswing for the non-tech, for the nonprofit.
This is going to be a real morale booster.
I think so.
For the art world. Another news item.
Another news item. About a month ago, I got an email in my inbox, and it was sort of announcing this new development, arts, sort of arts and community development in the Mission, and it's called the Pacific Felt Factory. And I have to say, my initial response
that
was one
like Portland
was one of great concern and fear, and some kind of anger. And morbidity and all those sorts of
morbidity. Wow.
All those sorts of feelings. And actually what I did was it's this new building that says Pacific Felt Company Factory aims to be a thriving active center where art, career, and industry meet.
Oh, I think you sent me this.
I definitely sent it to you. And I was kind of like, oh shit, what's going to happen here? We're doing this thing where this developer's coming in.
Some corporate bullshit.
They're going to make it sound like it's really great, get all the artists in there,
turn it
into this amazing, thriving scene, and then they're going to evict everyone and bring in the restaurants and all the other high-end shit that's been in the Mission. I was very worried.
Suicide machines.
These things do happen. They happen in New York. They're happening in Portland.
Soylent Green is people.
So, you know, I'm not generally a cynic, but this was something that definitely was a concern for me. So I actually emailed it to...
You are a cynic. You are the definition of a cynic.
Okay,
but go on.
I am a cynic.
That's fine. That's okay. Go on.
So I emailed my email or forwarded it to a friend of mine who works in the arts in the Mission.
Anonymous friend
who's a longtime arts person, arts administrator, activist, community supporter, blah blah blah, all that good stuff. And I was like, so what do you know about this? And I can't remember her response, but I just realized how bad that sounded. I'm gonna look that real quick. What I want to say is that I spoke to a friend who is in touch with one of the collaborators in this building, one of the groups that's moving in. And she verified that the person who owns the building and is creating it into what it's becoming, this community, is awesome, actually. It's someone who is in the community forever and ever.
You know this person?
I know her husband. So it's Spike. Her name is Spike. And her husband is Rodney Ewing, who's an artist, a local artist. Uh-huh. And they are awesome. They're an
awesome.
Well,
where's all the money coming from for this?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't
isn't
know
that
I
the
care.
Real thing that's going to tell us if it's ethical or not? It's not who these people are, but like where the money's coming from. What's the intention?
Well, I don't know if I don't. I guess I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I think. Me knowing that Spike and Rodney are behind this and that she owns a building, she's not just renting it and going to get booted out.
Yeah, but it was all them, their idea, their money?
That's the assumption.
Because if you were some kind of, you know...
If I had the money to buy a building and be like, I would probably give it away to nonprofits. I'd be like, here you go, just pay rent.
Okay. Now, Maysoon, if you were some kind of reptilian shapeshifter CEO of, Blackwater, wouldn't you, if you wanted to start some weird art-washed gentrification campaign, wouldn't you get some moles from the art community to make it look like it's legit, pump some money through them to start the thing, and then sure enough, they show up on a missing persons report 10 years later.
Listen, all I'm saying is that I was really happy to hear that people that I know who are really good people, who've been in this community for over 20 years, are starting and running this project.
Well, that's,
I felt really, really good about that.
That's good.
That it wasn't just a developer coming up with some idea, being like, this is a great idea. Exactly. You know, like that, that's what I was really like, who is the owner? Who is developing this place? You know, what is going on here? And the moment I heard it was Rodney and well, Spike, I think, is the main person, but she's associated to Rodney for me. I was felt really excited about that. And it made me actually think we should interview her.
Oh, yeah, by all means.
Just to get,
that'll
like,
clear
you can
it
ask
all
her where
up.
All the money is coming from.
She can be like, how dare you say these things? And I can be like, I'm sorry, that's what I do.
That's what I do. It's anyhow, people, Pacific Felt Company, Pacific Felt Factory, keep it on your radar.
Did it really used to be a felt factory?
I don't know, Kate. Let's save that question for
kind of a silly name if it wasn't, unless all they're making is felt there, felt art, which I'm 100% in support of. Let's post a link to all this. Can we have a link to it?
Sure.
There's a link to a lot of things down in the link world, including this description of this place. See what you make of it. I just think it's funny whenever we hear some new art thing is happening, our ears perk up and we feel like that's our domain. I know that's how I feel. Like when the startup art fair was coming out and when this thing's happening and we're like, that's my little world. I don't know. I think it's important to be critical.
It is.
It's but we're very selective.
And I was.
We're
I was from the very beginning.
About what we're critical about.
But I feel like the moment I heard that who was running it, I felt my heart
a little
rate,
relief,
like, chill
a
out
little
a little
relief.
Bit.
That was good.
Like, take it back. I mean, I feel like they're trying to do what Omni Commons is doing. It's like, people need to fucking be buying their buildings, you know? It's like,
yeah,
let's
totally.
Buy our, if, I mean, that sounds impossible to me, but if there's like 50 people getting in on some space, then maybe it's not
land
impossible.
Trust.
Like, let's fucking own this shit and be like, no, we're not leaving. So many of you have probably heard the news at this point, but a few weeks ago, a very beloved artist and member of our community passed away unexpectedly, Susan O'Malley. We're all...
Massive tragedy.
Massive tragedy.
I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, I told people that didn't know Susan at all about what had happened with her and her twin daughters, I mean, Katie, my girlfriend, never met Susan, and she cried.
Yeah.
Because it just was such a...
It's so tragic.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it definitely was.
So...
And still is. I mean, I think a lot of the people from... A lot of the people in the community are still reeling from the loss and from just
and
sort of like the shock
sweet,
of it.
Sweet,
such
a sweet
woman.
Person.
Yeah. With work that was really enlightening and beautiful, definitely. The family had a memorial for her at Montalvo last week, and there will be another public memorial or more of like
a celebration of her life.
At Yerba Buena on March 22nd, which is a Sunday, from 2 to 5 p.m.
And that's just open to the public.
It's open to everyone. I would, you know, recommend going, even if you didn't know her, just sort of, she was an incredible woman.
Very
and artist
important
and curator
person in the Bay Area artsy.
Yeah, and really making strong work and with a lot of humor but a lot of sort of wisdom as well, I would say.
Life is short and there's no guarantees, and that's why it's so important to connect with those, the people important to you. Not trying to sermonize, you know all this, listener. So thank you. you listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree. And thank you so much for doing that.
Keep your hearts and eyes open, people.
And your minds and your blinds. Let the sun shine in.
That's right. I love it. Perfect.